the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and gone.
Welcome back to Walk It Off. I feel like it's been a while, but I think it's only been a week. Is that right?
I mean, it's been a while since anyone has seen our faces.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We're seeing faces. All-Star was madness, so All-Star feels like a month in between everything. So welcome back. Second half is underway. Trade deadline is about 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone has an All-Star hangover, and that someone is me. Roger Federer won his 19th major victory and 8th Wimbledon title. He's 35, no big deal. Just pressing his chances there. And, of course, Game of Thrones premiered on Sunday night. We're chatting on Monday right now. And it's a buzz in the baseball world, so we have to talk about it for a quick second. Gemma is a semi-fan.
Yeah.
And Ashley is a hardcore fan. And myself am a non-existent fan in the Game of Thrones world. But, Ash, break it down. Give us your, like, three favorite moments from last night. Spoiler alert.
Yes, I don't want to spoil anything, but the Open was one of the best things I've ever seen. I loved it so, so much. And yes, I was very hyped about everything. So maybe I was, maybe I'm over-exaggerating a little bit. But it took me a while to understand what was going on. I was like, is this a flashback? What's happening? And then I was like, oh, that's Arya. And she's going to kill every single Frey. And
no spoilers. Just spoil the cold Open instantly.
It's fine. You didn't spoil it for me. Yeah, you're okay.
Are we supposed to talk about it? I don't know. We really shouldn't spoil so early.
I mean, honestly, catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
To the rest of the world.
Now's the time. Even though I did go on Twitter, because I'm obviously on the West Coast, so I wanted to watch it at nighttime. Yes, we could watch it on HBO Go at the same time everyone else is, but it's not the same when it's light outside watching Game of Thrones. It's not as fun.
Yeah,
so I want to wait till it was dark outside and we could have the whole cinematic, like, viewing situation. And I went on Twitter, and I don't even know who it was. I didn't even have the opportunity to see who it was so I could unfollow the person, was giving play-by-play. Are you kidding me?
So many people were doing that. Like, so many people were live tweeting it.
You can't do that. That's crazy. That's so crazy. So I was very upset about that. But anyways, the Open was so, so incredible. I loved it so much.
That's
and
a great point.
And just seeing everyone, like, yeah.
Okay.
Everything, like, coming back, everyone's stories, like, jumping back in, you know. It wasn't the most exciting episode ever, but it's just setting the scene, and that's fine.
And Gemma, okay, you watched, but you took a little break.
Yeah, like, I watched the first four seasons, like, pretty obsessively, and then I kind of, like, fell out of it in the fifth season. But I still read all the recaps, and, like, my roommate's a big fan, so I always know what's going on in the show, and okay, I don't care about spoilers, so I was on Twitter being like, what's gonna happen? Because I just want to know. Like, I just think it's funny. So, yes, my favorite part was also the cold open, because, one, it had the most action, two, it was just extremely, like, I can't say this in a family-friendly way, so okay, I will not, but it was incredible.
So someone who doesn't watch, would I still appreciate the cold open?
You would need to know the significance behind what happened with all the characters.
So no need to waste my time.
Yeah, but it was really great. The funniest part of the entire episode to me was Ed Sheeran's cameo.
I heard about that.
Because I hated that.
I was like, what? I guess we've come to the point in this show where we're just handing out, like, cameos to recognizable, like, famous people. And he gets to sing, and I was like, ugh.
Yes,
it was so annoying. It was very world breaking to me, which is something this show has like pretty consistently been like, this is about like we're gonna make this show as real as it is for the world that it's in, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's Ed Sheeran. It's like it just like really threw me off.
All right, yeah. So
there is actually, sorry to interrupt,
go ahead, Ash.
There's another, I don't remember who it is, not as recognizable as Ed Sheeran obviously, but there was another band that played extras, maybe having some small speaking roles in Game of Thrones. I don't remember what season it is. I have to look it up.
Yeah.
But I remember hearing about it, and I was like, no, I don't want that.
Well, bands do it, but like every band has done a cover of The Reigns of Castamere, basically, at this point.
Exactly.
And they're all in it, but if it's like some band that, like, you know them, but they kind of, like, you don't really know what they look like, it's different.
Yes.
But Ed Sheeran is, like, extremely recognizable.
Absolutely. So, yes, agree.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
So, all around baseball, everyone was celebrating last night, so that was really cool. Okay, let's kick things off with Trend or Trash, because there's a lot to get to. The home run derby slump. That's a thing. That's been a myth. That's been a controversy, a topic of conversation always after the derby. Guys who go on to win it, guys who perform well, guys who are in it in general, anyone who gets their name called to be in it. There's this looming cloud that says, now you will go into a slump. Mike Petriello wrote for MLB.com that this is not real. Mm-hmm. This doesn't exist. The numbers prove it. But to the human eye, that's not how we feel. So to me, trend or trash, is the home run derby a real thing as far as what you're actually seeing on the field? And do you feel it for the first couple weeks after the derby? Ash, go first.
Well, I think Petrel is right, so I'm going to trash that. I've believed in that curse for such a long time, because mostly because I love believing in curses like that, especially baseball ones, so it's fun. But it does, to the naked eye, look like it's going to throw you off, because you're swinging for the fences and swinging for your life over and over and over again, and it's way more than batting practice. It's now on a bigger stage. You're swinging a lot harder. You want to get more home runs. You want to get the big ones out there. So it seems like it. I think my biggest thing is that it feels like some of the players also believe that. Maybe most of them do. Or maybe they just use that because they don't want to get up there and do home run derby. And they're just like, I don't know if I might mess up my swing, you know, whatever. So I always took that as baseball players believe it as well. But, I mean, ultimately, I believe Petriello over everyone. So, I mean, I'm going to have to go with trash. Yeah.
Gemma?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that it's real. I think that also in the second half, there's probably going to be some regression anyway in general, because there's just like more at-bats now that we have. And like, also, it's been only a few games right back. So anyone being like, oh, Aaron Judge is done, that just seems like ridiculous and completely unwarranted. Yes. Like, I don't think that's true at all.
No, definitely not. And we're going to talk about him a little bit later. When you look at the numbers, it's really hard to say that it actually is a thing. Ash, I'm with you. I love superstitions, so I'm a big fan of saying that this is possible, because I love weird baseball things. But like, he literally broke it down mathematically, and it's really not a thing.
But also, the superstition is kind of lame, because it discourages fun players from participating in a fun event.
True. That's true.
And I want to see people in the home run derby, because the home run derby rules now.
Have we actually heard a guy say, no, I'm not going to participate because I don't want to mess up my second half numbers? Have we actually
I don't know.
I don't feel like we've ever seen
I think
come
people
out.
Say they don't want to mess up their swing and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think they talk about numbers, but I think they're worried about their swing.
So, and as far as that goes, obviously during BP, they are swinging differently. To hit that, like, you, if you want to hit a line drive to right field as opposed to left field, you are swinging differently. But hitting a home run in BP is completely different. But I feel like you're a professional. You should be able to, like, dial it back when you get back into your game mode. And it just takes everyone. It's not just home run derby. Guys, it takes everyone a second to get back in the group after All-Star.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a long season. You're going to have ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
So it goes.
Wow. That was easy. We all agreed on that one. Okay.
I know.
How nice. What a nice community.
That was very nice
of love.
All right. Monday morning.
Moving on. Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor. Oh, man, you guys. Is this out of control right now? Trend or trash, this fight is good for the UFC. This is good for sports. Gemma.
Oh, trash. Trash this. It doesn't really seem like it's going to actively be a sport, just on that level of sports. It just seems like this is not in any way either of their sports. They're just going to, like, bar fight each other. I don't know. It's very confusing. I also think that it's not a great look to promote people who are not great people as, like, oh, spend all your money on continuing to, like, let these guys do whatever it is that they do. Like, not a fan of Floyd Mayweather, so I don't think that this is great for sports. That's how I feel about that.
Ash?
Well, I also hate with every fiber of my being Floyd Mayweather. So, and I think a lot of people do. A lot of people look at him as a villain because he is, and people want to hate him, and they want him to have tax issues and whatever, and they want to see him get his butt kicked. And I think we're all excited for the people that hate him and are, like, not everyone, but for the ones that are watching this, just want to see him get beat up. Everyone wants to see him get beat up, and it is like a bar fight. And a way that it's like, I feel like there's no rules because they're making up some sport right now or whatever. I mean, I guess they're just boxing, so they're not really making up sport, but I feel like it is such like a bar fight in that way. And that's the beauty of it, I guess, that I'm seeing, is I want it to be kind of just like a dumb, drunken tumble around, and I want to see Mayweather get hit in the face at least one time in my freaking life. So I'm excited about that. But is it too much? Yes, it's absolutely too much. This is crazy. This guy is so old now, and he just needs money. And so now it's kind of like pathetic and sad. So there's that whole aspect. Also, Conor McGregor is not a great person either. So yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like watching two idiots bang their heads together, which is fun and also
Well, it's like, even if you see somebody who is kind of terrible get punched in the face, you're like, oh, okay, that's gratifying. But ultimately, like, these people are still getting millions of dollars from this event. So in the sense, it doesn't really serve that purpose for me of being like, ah, you deserve this. Because what they're actually getting is millions of dollars.
And right. Regardless of the outcome.
Yeah, it's not really like a substitution for actual legal justice, you know? So I'm not a fan of that.
What about the idea that this does give a platform to the community of boxers and fighters who are actually legitimate, are working towards it, are good people, maybe. I don't know. I haven't like dug in that deep, but I'm wondering, does this give them like maybe the opportunity one day, because people are going to tune in and watch, maybe they're getting new viewers, that's going to help the people who are below them?
I mean, do people pay to watch the undercards too?
I don't know.
That's the thing. It's also just like,
I think so.
We don't know, so clearly if that is the case, it doesn't seem like they're getting a ton of exposure.
So it doesn't matter anyway. Yeah. That's, you know what I'm thinking? Like, you know, when people watch professionals, but then sometimes you get to spotlight the people who are under them, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that is this, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just bad in general. I also feel like since this is pay-per-view, you really don't have to watch any of the stuff that happens around it. You can just be like, I'm main event only.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. I feel like this is just a circus happening, but it's like a car crash too, and you can't stop watching and listening because you don't want to miss out on what they said. I think there's a lot of people who won't tune in for a ton of different reasons. Everyone's going to have their different stance, but I do feel like people, you know, you're like maybe watching a scary movie, but you have one eye open. Like, you're still going to keep like one lingering eye on it because you don't want to not know. I don't know. I feel like they're going to get some extra viewers because of that, because this is ridiculous. This is unbelievable that it's happening, but here it is. It's around the corner for that. Okay, let's move on. Back to baseball. Billy Beane had some really interesting comments. Susan Slusser wrote for the San Francisco Chronicle after the trade, the Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle trade to Washington, where the A's got back Blake Treinen and then two minor league guys. So he said, really what's been missing the last 20 years is keeping these players. The frustration isn't that we've had success. The frustration is that after the success, we haven't kept them, and we need to change the narrative by, number one, creating a good team and ultimately committing to keeping them around so that when people buy a ticket, they know that the team is going to be there for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are really interesting comments coming from Billy Beane. He's in his 20th season as the VP of Baseball Ops for the Oakland Athletics. Trend or trash these comments from Billy Beane, Gemma?
I'll trend it. I mean, I think it's interesting. I also think that, like, I know it's this idea that is basically consistent across baseball, which is that you should have people that you can build your team around that fans are going to like, you know? That's not that crazy. But from him, it's like, oh, well, the A's are really well known for just trading everyone all the time, always. And
which is why this comment is confusing.
But it's not necessarily confusing so much as it is like, oh, sometimes people look at what they have and they're like, maybe I should have done a few things differently. And like, I accept that. I'm interested to know that he is coming to this point where he's like, maybe we should like have a guy around who everyone knows, like, yes, he's like,
can buy their jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when Yoenis Cespedes got traded, he said at the time he thought he would be an A forever.
Yeah.
And
that's crazy to think.
Yes.
Right?
Cause now he's just like, I only think of him as with the Mets, even though he was on the Tigers, whatever. but
he's a Met.
Yeah, he's a Met. But this idea, I think he knows that now. And I feel like it's not so insane for him to have changed a few ideas of how he thinks about building a team over time.
Because this is the Moneyball guy.
Yeah.
He is Moneyball. Moneyball is him.
He is very identified with
this
particular, like, the first embrace wave of advanced stats, yes.
Right. And making sure that they don't have the money to buy the best guys, so they're going to get the undervalued guys who you know, have those quirky stats working for them, maybe not the batting average and whatnot, stolen bases, but they have something else that people didn't see. Ash, what do you think about these comments?
Well, I hope that he was giving these comments to himself in the mirror, because if I remember correctly, and sure, this is all hearsay, whatever, but from what some of the players said that after they left Oakland and were very angry, is that the reason why they left is he is just impossible to deal with. And so it's like, yes, of course you want to have all these people hang around, but you got to work with these players, especially if you're building superstars. You can't just be like, I'm the star here. You have to listen to what I say. blah, blah, blah. This is why people leave angry when they leave from Oakland. So, yes, you should want to keep them around, but that's on you, bud. You got to want to keep them around, create an environment that's great for them, because people do like being in Oakland. People like that scrappy fan base. People like the old rundown stadium and stuff. It's fun and it's exciting. And he does end up getting a lot of people that are perfect for that. Yet he drives them away almost every single time. So, yeah, you need to change yourself in order to keep these people. I agree. Yes. So trend it, I guess. Yes.
I'm wondering a few things. I'm wondering, one, how long has he been thinking this and he's just been holding it in and waiting to say it at the right time? Or maybe it just that he hasn't been thinking about it and it just came out naturally. And this is, everyone is on board with this. And I'm wondering if he actually means it. Because I just feel like I'm definitely for realizing maybe what you were doing wasn't working and changing. Baseball changes so often. Like, there's nothing in it, I feel like, that remains consistent when it comes to how to build your team correctly. You know, talking about super teams and other sports and, you know, do we build the bullpen or do we build the starting pitching staff? Like, which side, you know, all these different things. So I trend the idea that he's willing to change, even though he's so closely associated with Moneyball. But I wanna trash it as well, because I know, both ways, per usual. I wanna trash it because I feel like I want him to stick with his guns. If that's what he felt was working 2002 and 2003 when he won those championships, it was working for him. I want you to stick to your guns, Billy Beane, and I want you to stay with it, and I want you to make it work.
I feel like to some degree, it's kind of nuts to be like, I'm going to stick with a strategy that's 20 years old because it worked 20 years ago and not again since.
Like, I just want to see this crazy idea close. Work today.
Well, we're past Moneyball 1.0, right? So, like, the crazy
what
idea
are we at, like 20.0?
Has, like, stacked and evolved, right? Anyway,
yes.
So if he's still playing with the same tools that he was 20 years ago, then he's like not on the cutting edge anymore,
right?
So I'm glad that he wants to, like, I don't know, because it's like with the Sean Doolittle trade. When I think of who's like the most identifiable, it's Sean Doolittle.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, after everyone else, Josh Reddick is gone, Stephen Vogt DFA'd, you know, all gone. So
that's,
I think, Sean Doolittle, and now he's not in A either.
No.
And who else am I supposed to picture now when I think of that team?
Yeah. Well, I want them to succeed.
Sonny Gray, I guess.
Sonny Gray, yeah. Who might not be there for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. Sonny Gray might be out the door too. It's really weird. I don't know. I just feel like I like that he went with this weird thing and it worked, and now he's like, meh, out the window. Let's
I don't know that he
new.
Necessarily said, like, I'm done evaluating players with advanced stats, just that he wants someone that he can make a bobblehead of that people will recognize.
Yeah, he said, quote,
and then give him away.
Yeah, he wants to get the best players, period. So that is a 180, maybe a 360. I'm not sure. I'm not good with numbers, but that is the opposite.
He just came back to where he was.
That's right.
At the beginning.
No, 180.
What do you think batting around is,
he's
Danny?
A 180. All right. Any other thoughts on Billy Beane and his newfound path of baseball glory?
I don't know. I hope it works out. I know everyone in the organization is probably rooting for it. I feel like this is one of those situations where someone's like, I have an idea, let's do this. And then he takes it immediately and is like, you know what? I actually have an idea. Let's actually not let people go all the time. So I don't know. I'm rooting for the organization.
It'll be interesting.
And he finally chills out.
Yeah. Your 2018 Oakland Athletic World Series champs.
I think that's way too soon.
All right.
Danielle.
All right. That was a joke. That was a bad joke. Okay, let's move to some quick hits. Jose Quintana, he kicked off the trade season, did he not? Am I right about that?
Yeah, that was exciting.
All right, from the White Sox to the Cubs. He struck out 12 in his debut against the Orioles, blowing everyone's mind. Just some quick thoughts about that's a great way to introduce yourself to your team.
For Gemma. Sure. I'm glad that right after I picked the Brewers to win that division, the Cubs were like, streak!
Ash? Ash agrees.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't really know what to think about it now. It's so early, but I want him to do well. I think that was a great trade for both sides, so I'd like to see both sides do very well in this whole thing. And I am very happy that he got these 12 strikeouts against an American League team, because that just makes it that much more legit. So, I don't know. I think it's cool, and I think it's good for baseball, and it's good for trades.
Yeah, I think it was a good trade for both sides, too. I liked it a lot. It was fun. And I'm glad that we finally saw where Quintana was going to go, because we've been speculating about it forever.
Forever,
so.
Like the whole year, I feel like.
And the rumor is that the Cubs aren't done with starting pitching, so.
That's not surprising with Theo.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Johnny Manziel is, quote, hopeful that he'll get another chance in the NFL. Now, he took off 2016. He's been working out with Odell Beckham Jr. He's ready to take any chance. When he gets the call, he's ready to answer. Does Johnny deserve another chance?
I mean, if he wants to do this thing that he's going to do, he better start. If he wants to, like, get in the baseball game earlier than Tebow did, he should just do it now.
Yeah, that's true, actually. He called himself, I don't even know if we're allowed to say this, a D-bag. Can we say that?
Well, I don't know.
I think we could say it.
Sorry.
I say yes.
We can cut that out. He called himself, he's like, I was a D-bag in 2016, and I know it.
Well, good for him.
To say the least.
Yeah. So, Ash, does he deserve another chance? Does he have a place in the NFL? Is there somewhere for him?
I mean, I guess I don't care if he goes back to the NFL. He's very lucky that we're in such a quarterback lull that he has an opportunity to do this. And if he shapes up and, like, betters his life because he wanted to get back to the sport, then good for him, and I'm happy about that. But if he's going to go back just to be like a TMZ bomb, then I don't want him to come back.
He should just be on another season of The Bachelorette. Do a pull of Jordan Rogers.
Isn't there?
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. If there's plenty of reality TV opportunities for him.
Go work on The Bachelor.
You can be on TV, though.
Go participate. I think, I feel like he got a second chance and a third and a fourth and a fifth. So I don't know. I feel like there are other guys out there who deserve the chance more than him. But maybe if he turns things around and he can be a team player, then good for him. I think there are guys who deserve the chance before him, though. All right. Agreed. Mookie Betts tweeted a photo. I don't know if you guys saw it. I hope you did because I want you to caption it. Ash, did you see this photo?
Yeah, I did see this photo.
Did you think of a caption for it?
I was so distracted by other people's captions. I mean, I can think of a caption right now, but I was like, at first it was so nice and everyone's doing like cute little like dad joke kind of captions, and then all of a sudden it just bursts out into this weird adult like grown man fight about which team is better. And I love that so much, but I guess my caption would be ESPN is really trying to make this a thing, huh? That's my caption.
That's your caption. Okay. Gemma, on the spot here.
I don't know if I have a caption for this. I wish that Mookie looks so admiring of Aaron Judge in this photo. Yeah. It's really cute. And Aaron Judge just looks like a Greek statue. So it's, I feel like there's not a lot, you know, of interaction going on there.
Right. We don't know what's happening. I wonder like yours? What Mookie was thinking. Mine is, did we just become best friends?
Oh, cute.
Yeah. Because they are definitely, they're both admiring each other.
It would
have
to, maybe it would be like two houses, both alike, and Indignant Analogy, the Romeo and Juliet beginning. Yeah.
Oh, Gemma, I love it. That's
theater
great.
Nerd.
Very cool.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Speaking of, really quickly, Mookie Betts and the Red Sox, Rena, shout out to you. The catch last night from Jackie Bradley Jr.
Very good.
I just have to give that a quick shout out because it could be the most amazing catch that we've seen this season.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, it's definitely in the running for number one. All right, we're going to move to fill in the blank.
Yay!
This is the original fill in the blank. All right, Aaron Judge will hit blank home runs in the second half of the season. He almost hit 31 last night, but was robbed by Jackie Bradley Jr.
20.
Okay.
I'm going to say 15.
I'm going to go 25.
Whoa.
Whoa, what? 55 homers?
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
25. Yeah. Okay, blank will win the NL Central.
I guess I should stick to my pick and say that the Brewers will win it, but I'm sure that now that I've said it in multiple places
you're
that this
jinxing them?
Will not happen, yeah.
You're the jinx, Ash.
I am the jinx.
Oh, gosh. I don't want it to be the Cubs just because that's boring. Agreed. I want them to get the wild card. No.
Not even.
Not even.
I guess I'll say the Cubs.
Ah, boo. I'm going with the Brewers.
Yeah.
I definitely think the Brewers have this.
Yeah.
Definitely think that.
I want that to happen.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see what they do before this trade deadline.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get someone big. Blank will win the AL Central because these are the two closest divisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The AL Central is close because it's bad.
That's right.
The NL Central is close because it's fun. Good.
Kind of.
Ish.
Kind of. They're almost in the same boat, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like both on the knife edge
good,
of good
bad.
And bad.
They're
yeah.
good, bad. Okay. I have, who did I have winning this? Actually, this was the one I really couldn't figure out because the Royals are starting to surge a little bit, mm-hmm. and the Twins and the Indians are equally as weird right now. So I struggled with this one. Did you guys have a clear winner?
I just don't want Cleveland to win because I'm from Michigan, but I know the Tigers won't, going Twins.
Twins.
I also want the Twins, yes.
Okay.
I think that would be fun. Well. I think that would be such a good, fun speed from punchline to a division winner, you know?
That's a good point. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to rock that boat, too.
And I like Max Kepler, like, a lot, so.
Okay. Jumping on that German, that German kid.
Yeah.
I'm a fan, too. All right. Nelson Cruz's selfie with Joe West during the All-Star game is cooler than blank.
Is cooler than Paul Goldschmidt's red carpet look at the All-Star
Whoa.
Game.
Okay. Pull that out of nowhere, Ash.
That was so good. I don't
Did
know.
Did you see his red carpet look? It was not great. Okay.
No, so, but does that mean that you think the selfie's not that great? Because you just made it beat out something that wasn't that great. Maybe she shouldn't reveal her real thoughts, Ash. I'm not sure.
I communicated how I felt based on my coolness evaluation. That's you can take what you know. Want from that.
Okay. Ash, help me out here.
Okay. I think that photo was cooler than, I mean, I don't know, the Mojave Desert. I wasn't really impressed at all by it because it's just Joe West. That's boring. I did think it was funny. I did smile, and usually I would eye roll so hard, and I was like, oh, that's funny. These things are happening now, but you only like it because your like golden god was taking the photo.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a part of it. Listen,
golden
Nelson
robot.
Cruz's selfie with Joe West at the All-Star game is
it
cooler.
It wasn't a selfie.
Nelson Cruz's photo with Joe West. Photo with Joe West at the All-Star game is cooler than Ellen DeGeneres' selfie at the Oscars.
That is patently untrue. That is just not even. That's an insane take, Danny.
I'm taking
it. Wait, did Nelson Cruz, when Joe West asked him why he was doing this, it seemed like Nelson Cruz said, it's because you're old, and I want to stick with that.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's what he said.
You're a legend, and you're old.
That's really funny. It's because you're old, which implies one day soon you won't be here for me to take photos of you.
That, isn't that every person ever in life? One day, Gemma, you're going to be old, so let's get a photo.
We already
got to do this now.
It was fun. I wish, though, he would have actually, like, we did a post on Cup 4 a while ago about a guy who hit a home run during the, like an MLB All-Star game and then actually literally took a selfie of himself at home plate after hitting the home run.
Okay.
That was really cool.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, listen, everyone has
also,
their own
opinion.
Also, the
fact that he had his phone in his pocket the whole time. Anyway.
Moving
on.
That's a whole nother thing.
Moving on. Okay. I think it's blank that Lonzo Ball was wearing other brands of shoes during the summer league. Is wearing other brands of shoes during the summer league besides big baller brand shoes.
I think it's fine, but confusing. I don't really have that many opinions about how he can make his brand successful, because I don't care about if he makes his brand successful.
Ash?
Agreed. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm going to say, wait, what was the question again? Phrase it so I could say one word.
Okay.
Try to do this in one word.
I think it's blank that Lonzo Ball is wearing other brands of shoes during the summer league.
I think it's dumb. I mean, ultimately. But I do like the fact that they just keep having these like great excuses. So when they're asked, they're just like, if you sign with Big Baller, you can wear whatever shoes you want, which is silly and stupid, but also a lot of people want to be able to wear whatever shoes they want outside of playing basketball. So that is clever if that's true, but ultimately it's dumb. And ultimately everything that family does is dumb. So dumb.
Very anti-Ball family.
So basically what was being said, he was doing it to kind of like start a bidding war and show other brands like Nike, Adidas, who turned him down, that all the attention he can draw to the summer league. People are tuning into the summer league to see him, to see what he's wearing, blah, blah, blah. So he's wearing other shoes to prove that point. I thought about this both ways. I thought about it, it's about time that Lonzo Ball is wearing other brands of shoes because, first of all, you're here to play basketball. That's your number one job. You didn't get drafted to wear shoes. You got drafted to make buckets. So for me, why are your priorities on what you're wearing? Listen, what you're wearing is very important to your performance. So, like, quit messing around with your branded shoes and wear what you're going to play best in. So for me, that's kind of like, I didn't care he was wearing another brand. Actually, I see your point, because, like, if that's your brand, you should be sporting it. But if you're not playing your best, then you better figure out something out real quick, because, like, that's what you're there to make money for, not to wear shoes. So
yeah,
that's what I had. All right, Sean Doolittle and Ryan Madsen will blank the Nats World Series run.
Help? I mean,
that's,
I do think,
perfect with the question mark at the end.
Yeah.
Help question mark.
I mean, it can only be what this is, absolutely an upgrade, but I mean, also they're not playing in a hard division, so it's hard to see, like, that they won't win it, but will they continue after that? I mean,
Ash.
I mean, I'm kind of on the help question mark fence too, because I think it might help, but it also might stay exactly the same, which is kind of where I'm leaning towards right now, especially when they have to face actual teams that are legit. So I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, maybe they all meld together and they're like Sean Doolittle's the one piece of the puzzle that everyone needed. I don't know, but
yeah,
it's impossible to tell, but also extremely interesting. So I'm very excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I like that. I hadn't thought of anything yet, because it's kind of
impossible.
It felt like a big trade, but then when you really look at it, you're
It's like a minuscule, like, little piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. So. Okay. Bryce Harper's idea of choosing captains for the All-Star game is a blank idea because blank. Ash.
It's a bad idea because he's probably going to be the only one who wants to do it. I think it'll be fun if, like, Bryce Harper's like, I get to pick the National League team, because people are just like, yeah, whatever. But the second someone else becomes a team captain, no one's going to want to be a team captain. Barely anyone wants to be a team captain for a home run derby. So it's too much pressure to put on a player for an exhibition game. So I think it's a fun idea, but I think it's ultimately bad.
Gemma.
I think it's a cute idea, but it won't work, because it's one game in the middle of the year and nobody wants to, like, spend a lot of time thinking about this, because they want to spend a lot of time thinking about the actual team that they actually play for the rest of the season.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I
do think it's cute, though. I think it's a cute idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool idea, because now that the home field advantage is off the table, I think we saw guys a little looser. I think they were having a little more fun. The game was still boring overall, like, pretty boring game until the end, I would say. Obviously, like, the beginning and the end were great. But maybe this would give it just a little more fire. I feel like coming after the home run derby is like, I don't even know how to compare it. It would be like eating a piece of cake and then someone being like, oh, do you want some whipped cream now, just by itself? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like,
yes.
You know, did that make perfect sense?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like trying to come after the home run derby and be all spicy, that doesn't make any sense. Spicy and fiery, it's not. And so maybe this would give it a chance to compete.
I think that there should just be more stuff, like Nelson Cruz taking photos at home plate. Like, people
like Kenley Jansen taking video.
Yeah, or like the on-field interview with Bryce when he was just out in the field, like, actively, like, patrolling the outfield, and they were interviewing him.
Yeah.
That, or George Springer's
interview. Because
you could,
never do that during a real game.
Right.
So you kind of get the chance to do it during the All-Star game, which is fun. Like, more active, like, more, like, little things that players should think, wouldn't it be fun if I did this? Like, yeah, it would. Go ahead. Do it.
Yeah. Yes. You know? So just, like, I like the path that the idea is on.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the idea, but I like the path that the idea is on. All right. Last one. The Red Sox 5-hour long game is blank for baseball. 5 hours against the Yankees. So it's against the Yankees, not for nothing.
They both of these teams also tend to play extremely long games
they
against
do,
each other,
just
historically.
Nature, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, do only Red Sox and Yankees fans care about this because they get to watch their team play for 5 hours? Or is this generally fun for all of baseball, watching two great teams play 5 hours of baseball? One game in 5 hours.
Well, this was a low-scoring game, too. So it's not like it was, like, 25-24 final score. You know, it was, like, it was tied 1-1 for most of the game.
Right.
So, I mean, it's hard to make a generalization if it's overall good or bad for baseball.
I think it's fine for baseball just because it doesn't happen that often. It feels like it every time the Yankees and Red Sox play, but that's coming from a non-fan of those teams. And I do think internationally, those two teams are the most beloved. So, I mean, you get a lot of viewers from around the world watching a long-ass one-to-one game, which is great for baseball. So I think it's fine. It's not, I mean, I hate all this time restriction stuff that we're putting on things now, or have been for a while, because ultimately it's fine. Everything is fine. 5-hour game every once in a while. I win in extra innings. It's okay. Totally fine. So
I also think that, like, once you get to a certain point of extras, you're like, now I'm like, it's kind of like a joke that stops being funny and then gets funny again because it just keeps going and going. That's how that kind of feels. It's like, oh, I'm tired. Wait, but like, how much longer can this go on? Now I'm just, I'm like, fascinated.
Right.
You
like,
know?
Kind of never want it to end.
Yeah.
And you wanted to, like, break a record. You're like, if I'm here, I might as well be here.
Right. Yeah. And then it just goes through cycles. And I think that's okay too, because that's kind of the joy of having a sport with no clock, is sometimes you do have games that are 2 hours and 12 minutes, and sometimes 5-hour games. So
I think it's okay as long as it's not a consistent thing.
Well, I don't think it is.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah. So that's my caveat there. Asterisk, consistent, not a consistent thing. All right, so anything else that we missed? I mean, anything? I think we hit it all.
Been so busy. What a world.
What a world.
What a time in sports.
Ash, you doing good?
Yes. I just saw Madison Bumgarner's first game back on Saturday.
How was that?
A lot of fun, even though it was a walk-off. But it was still fun. It was a firework night after, so enjoyed some fireworks. And I was in San Diego, so it's like, you can't really go wrong.
Aww. But,
that's great. Yeah. That's awesome. You were there.
Yes,
you're
I know.
Loyal.
Supporting.
Supportive. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Baseball's back.
Hooray! Woo.
We'll catch you
go
next
Brewers.
Time.
Go Brewers!